Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Atlantia 2020 Results and Strategic Update presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Bertazzo, Chief Executive Officer of Atlantia. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to everybody. Carlo Bertazzo speaking. First of all, thank you very much for attending this annual Atlantia conference event, where we have opportunity to present 2020 results and some strategic update. Here with me are the CEO of the main assets of the group for a general overview of each of them. And it is a pleasure for me to introduce them during the presentation. 2020 was a challenging and intensive year for Atlantia, not only due to the negative effect of traffic volume due to the pandemic, but also because of some uncertainties related to the Autostrada per l'Italia concession. Despite this general favorable context, we have done and launched many important initiatives on business, financial, liquidity, organization, governance, management teams, and lastly, on the strategy, with the innovation and sustainability as the engine for development in the field of mobility of people and goods. In page 2, you can find, in nutshell, business overview. I don't like to spend because a lot of time a single page is because we have a very long presentation today, and I have a pleasure that also the CEO attend the meeting. But just I'd like to point out the size of our physical assets, that we are speaking about a portfolio of traffic assets in different 11 countries with 56 different concessions, and also we have our services provider mobility, like a Telepass, that is important for our future strategy. I like also to point out that before to going forward about the financial performance, we spent time during 2020 also about the new role of Atlantia as a strategic holding company. We define new vision, new organization, and page 3, maybe a lot of you know very well this page, but in any case, we, in the last year, changed a lot of top management of a group and also at Atlantia level. We have defined completely the governance of the group and set up ESG, our target for 2023. Plus on top of this, we review the risk management culture of the group and introduce the new enterprise risk management systems. That is very important for us. I'm very proud also to present in page 4 the new management of Atlantia team that I dedicate a lot of time not only for select people, but select people in different way. Diversity is important, not only in terms of gender, but also for different experience and different agings. For the traffic and consolidated performance, economic performance, I leave the floor to the CFO, Tiziano Ceccarani.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much, Carlo. Before entering 2020 financial results, Let's look to traffic performance. As we all experience, 2020 traffic was significantly impacted by the COVID-19 pandemics and by, of course, the relevant government restrictions. We reported an overall reduction of 23% on our toll road business and 75% on our airport business compared to 19 results. Toll road proved to recover quickly as soon as governments reduce restriction to mobility. Moving to slide number 6, we have the executive summary on key financial performance. As we discussed, we have 2020 results mostly impacted by the pandemics and traffic restrictions. Revenues closed at 8.3 billion, 3.3 billion lower than 19, and EBITDA at 3.7 billion with a reduction of 2 billion. COVID and traffic were responsible for over 2.6 billion at the EBITDA level, which was impacted also by negative effects for FX, mostly related to the devaluation of Brazilian real and Chilean pesos on our Latin American businesses. And it was also impacted by some additional maintenance costs for the ASPI perimeter for approximately 0.3 billion. All of our business quickly react in the 9 months, and we were able to reduce OPEX by over 600 million, including 165 million of positive impact by reduced concession fees. As you know, since the beginning of the pandemic, we committed to report traffic performance for our business on a weekly basis, and to update year-end sensitivities on revenues and FFOs. For 2021, on the basis of the recent traffic data released on March the 7th, and with the assumption of gradual reduction in traffic restriction, we expect to recover 19% of 19 traffic for our toll road business and 30% for airports. With this assumption in mind, we expect revenues to be at 9.4 billion in 2021 with an FFO at 3.0 billion, paving the way for a return to stronger economic and financial performance for the group. Moving to slide number 7. We, in 2020, we focus all of our efforts to improve liquidity in our businesses and at the holdco level. We increase our cash position from 5.2 billion to 8.4 billion, and we have additional 8.7 billion of committed lines available at the end of 2020 at the group level. These results were achieved thanks to the strong relation with our investor base, which were part of the 9.2 billion bond issues since 2020 and ending at the end of February 2021, and the strong relation with financial institutions and banks, which supported the group with over 6.2 billion of additional banking facility. Carlo.
Thank you, Tiziano. We are moving to page 7, just one page about the ASPI disposal process. As you, maybe all of you, know very well, in 24 September, Atlantia launched a dual-track process, two different legs. One is outright sales. The last update that we have, that we received in the 24th February, the binding offer for consortium CDP, and the board of directors at the end of the month has been deemed by this offer not consistent with the interest of Atlantia and its shareholder as a whole. In any case, if a binding offer is received as considered in the company interest, Atlantia board director will call EGM proposing the revocation of the merger. The merger that I remind that was approved by the shareholder in mid of January 2 months ago, and we call the EGM at the end of this month just to require to the shareholder an extension from at the end of March, at the end of July, the deadline for receiving a binding offer related to the majority of share capital or ACC. For the time being, we don't have any other updates about this kind of dual track process, and we are in the negotiation phases with the CDP consortium to aim to improve the economical offer and also the time of the condition. I leave the floor right now to Roberto Tomasi, CEO of Autostrade per l'Italia, but before to leave the floor to Roberto, I like and I point out that we really had a rush last year in 2020.
Thank you, Carlo. Thank you to everybody. In this first chart, we have put together two things. One is the new vision of Autostrade per l'Italia, and in the other side are the activities that we have done in the 2020 and that we are foreseen in the plan 2020-2024. I remember that the plan 2024 is the plan equal to the economical plan that we have submitted to the government and that we are waiting the formal approval. In terms of delivery plan, we have focused to revise completely our maintenance plan with the definition of increase of the volume of the maintenance activities in the next 4 years of around 60% of the volume that we done in the past. The new vision of the maintenance plan is completely agreed with the Minister of Infrastructure, and together we are defining a new standard, and the new standard are not the only standard for Autostrade per l'Italia, but are the standard for the entire sector of the infrastructure in Italy. In the other side, we have completely revised our investment plan, increasing the volume of the activities in two boxes. One linked to the major project like Gronda bypass or Bologna bypass, and other larger improvement in the extension of part of our infrastructure. In the other side, in the other box, the new vision of the modernization of the infrastructure, and we are thinking about bridge, viaducts, tunnels, and all the safety barrier in all our grid. To support this important plan, we have, as Carlo said, revised completely our process, and we have launched the transformational plan that is called 360 degrees next in order to revise all our process. Terms of our plan are linked with the new vision of the mobility, the green infrastructure, and specifically the charging infrastructure that we are developing with a new company that we have set up is one of the part of our transformation, but we are working also on the design of the new infrastructure in order to be sustainable and in all the sector of the energy efficiency inside our network. In the new vision, and we will see in the new chart, we have integrated completely the value of the company, starting from the research up to the engineering and the construction, to arrive to the manager of the services for the customer and for the operation. To go to the next slide, this is the setup of the new organization, in which we have divided the group function, taking consideration that more than 90% of the new manager are manager that comes from different experience, in order to give us the capability to support this new investment plan, and we have redefined the different business line. We start from Autostrade Tech. Autostrade Tech is a company, and we are consolidating the leadership in the technological solution and innovative system. It was already under the control of Autostrade per l'Italia. We have defined a new company that is Tecne. Tecne is the engineering company. We have defined this company at the end of the 2020. And we have closed the deal also for Pavimental. Pavimental now is controlled by Autostrade per l'Italia, in order to have also the construction capability inside our group. Finally, the two business unit, the operational one and the engineering construction, was redesigned internally to the organization of Autostrade per l'Italia. And finally, we have created, in order to set up the new infrastructure for the electrical infrastructure for charging the electrical machine with Free2 Experience. Next one, these are in the numbers in terms of activities done. What I wanted to underline is the number of inspections that we have carried out in the 2020 and the new setup of the Argo digital system. I remember that one of the complexity to manage the infrastructure is to have a clear idea about the infrastructure that you manage, and to go deeply to this digital system, we think that we have reached the result. In terms of maintenance effort, the numbers are quite clear. This year, even if we had months of COVID, and we had some impact on our operation activities, we have reached a value of more than 680 million euros of maintenance activities. That, if we compare to the previous volume of maintenance, we are more than double to what done in the 2018. And as I told before, we have changed more than 80% of our management position inside the organization. In terms of volume, this is one of the reasons why we set up an engineering company, and we are working to reach the level of capability of numbers of people need to approach the investment plan. We are doubling also in this case the volume of the investment plan in the next 4 years, and we are closer to double also the level of the maintenance plan. And so in this way we need to set up a strong organization in order to support this important effort. To do that, next slide, thank you. To do that, we have organized internally a complete transformation plan in order to cover all the process inside the company, starting from the digital, and we will show you also some impressive numbers of activities that we are foreseeing. Obviously, to focus on the people, just to give you an idea, we are foreseeing to hire more than 2,800 people within the 2024. And next to excellence, it depends obviously, is linked to all our internal process. One of the points that we think extremely strategic for the company is the plan for the next to knowledge and what are the agreement that we are close with the most important university in Italy, specifically with the Polytechnic of Milan and the Polytechnic of Turin, in order to create a framework also of technical relation, also to support also the standard that we underlined before. Obviously, next to the safety still remain our focus. I remember that when we speak about safety, we speak about the safety of our people, but we are speaking also the safety of our contractor. And obviously, a specific point of communication of our transformation is one of the key issues, and in the next month, we have already started to discuss about the communication internally to the stakeholders externally, but we have to focus deeply in the next month in order to show the new vision of the company that is completely integrated with the new vision of Atlantia Group. Next one is the volume of activities in terms of digital operational mode. We have work on three major items, that is the asset of the field force management, all what is linked with the customer experience, and what is linked with the operational excellence through the different process of the company. Just to go you to give you an idea about the volume of the activities, if we see the inward looking and so all what we are investment in order to improve our internal process, we are speaking about of an amount of 110 million euros, and if we see to what could be the services in terms of digital that we will offer also to our client and externally to improve our services, we are speaking about a volume of activities of 19 million euros, just for around 200 million euros of activities linked with the digital. To do that, we are involving the major company today in the market in order to support this important plan that, believe me, is one of the biggest case of digitalization that we have seen in the last year in Italy. Regarding next one. Obviously, one of the key issues for Autostrade per l'Italia, also as Carlo said, is the possibility to close the agreement with the government and to receive the approval of the economical plan. I remember that in the starting from we started the discussion in the late July 2019. In September of 2020, we achieved formal agreement with the government, and we produce all the document to close the issue. We have also submitted the economical plan. We have received a different feedback from both the Minister of the Economy and the Ministry of the Infrastructure. And today, I can say that there are no point of disagreement, and is everything is completely clear between us and the government to go ahead with the formal approval. We can understand now that in this moment there could be some problem with the change of the government, and obviously with some critical issue linked to the pandemic. And so we can understand that could be some delay in the approval of the economic plan, even if everything is clear defined. I remember that for the settlement agreement, we confirm the total amount of 3.4 billion euro that we have already foreseen in our plan of 2019 and 2020. There is one part of non-remunerated capex that is already defined, and finally is the reconstruction of the Genoa bridge and some amount linked to project for Genoa City that are clearly defined, the amount for the reconstruction, and I remember to everybody that now we are managing the bridge that was reconstructed after the collapse of Morandi Bridge. In the new economical plan, I remember only the point that is we have accepted to agree with the new provision of the authority for the transport, and so it is a financial plan on a RAB base. Finally, just to give you some numbers. Some numbers regarding the traffic. This is the result of the 2020. We have compared to the 2019, we had a reduction of 27%. Just to give you the figures of the beginning of the 2021, we are close to 27% also in the first month, even if in the 21 we are foreseen a decrease of traffic of 12%. Regarding the DTDDA, in this case the reduction is of 57%. Three are the major items of this reduction. If we compare to the 2019, obviously it is the reduction of due to the COVID impact that is more or less 880 million euros. One is linked with the major maintenance activities that we have carried out specifically for the activities on the tunnels, that is around 300 million euro, and after there are minor other amounts that make the gap between what we have seen in the 2019 and in the 2020. There are some other major main aspects regarding the numbers that we are seeing that are better specified in the table that are shown in this chart.
Thank you, Roberto. Thank you very much. I think that if you can stay here, it's important also for the Q&A section. And the next section of presentation is regarding Abertis, is our international platform. I leave the floor to Jose Alfaro, the CEO of Abertis. Hi, Pepe.
Hi. Thanks, Carlo. And good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to remark Abertis' main topics, and I would like to start highlighting the key priorities. If I talk about the strategic lever, first, Abertis has to renew the asset portfolio. Really, first, replacing expiring cash flows, mainly in Spain. As you know, Acesa, our main Spanish concession, will end the concession contract at the end of August, and also it's necessary to replace those significant cash flows coming from Spain. And also, we need to increase the average life of our concession. Second, we need to expand our geographical footprint, mainly creating new growth platform in new countries. In that sense, we was very successful in this process. And in 2020, we successfully entered in Mexico, acquiring a company called RCO, and also in U.S., Elizabeth River Crossing, we call ERC. In both cases, we apply our financial discipline, and also we did very prudent financial assumptions. for both projects require a total EV around 6.5 billion euros. Right now, we are in the process to integrate both acquisitions that require a strong work from our team to integrate the new teams, the new countries, the new procedures, and also we try to implement our best practices. Other key priority in Abertis is to extract value from the existing platform. I mean, as you know, it's necessary to explore new opportunity in the short or mid-term. That way is the most profitable way with very low risk. We show a very good track record in the past working in the current portfolio, and we did also this year some significant improvement. For instance, in negotiation with Mexico, with the Mexican grantor, we extended the concession six extra years in the project called Ramales. Also in Chile, we achieve agreement to implement free flow tolling in three of our concessions, with extension between 8-12 months in one in each of them. Also in France, we has been working with the French government with the idea to implement a free flow system in one of the road is the A13, A14. That mean that is one other key priority for Abertis. The next key priority is related ESG. As you know, we are very sensitive to these issues. We are very oriented to environmental action through the Abertis Foundation and also to road safety and innovation. For instance, in road safety, we did a reduction in the number of fatalities in our road, more than 51% in the last 8 years. That is all the key topic in our group. Finally, talking about priorities is the financial discipline. In financial discipline, we are focused in three topics. The first, we try to enhance our cash flow generation. In that sense, we are doing a very good efficiency plan that was implemented for the period 2018-2021 for a target amount 510 million euros, and we will overcome the initial target. The other point in financial discipline is related to maintain the strong financial position. This year, we launched different bond issues. For instance, in Abertis Infrastructure, we launched 3.5 billion, including 2 billion hybrid bonds, in the period November 2020 and January 2021, with very excellent terms. For instance, an average coupon 3% and maturity 5.5 years. Also in HIT, is our French holding, we launched also 1.2 bond issuance, below 2% coupon and 7-year maturity. The third point in financial discipline is related the balance, the well balance between growth and shareholder remuneration. As I said before, we have been growing this year, and at the same time, we paid in 2020 875 dividends to our shareholders. Also we reviewed the dividend policy for the next 2 years, for 2021, 2022, and we've established a new dividend for the next 2 years amount 600 million euros. In the next page, we present the 2020 performance. Abertis achieved an EBITDA 2.6 billion in 2020. That represent, in comparable terms, a reduction of 24%, mainly as a consequence of the reduction in revenues, 890 million. The revenues clearly was impacted by the COVID effect, and the restrictions in mobility in all of our countries. We saw a very clear correlation between mobility restriction and traffic performance. That is obvious. The traffic in the key countries decreased significantly. In Spain, for instance, was minus 30.6%, in France, minus 24%, et cetera, et cetera. Only in Brazil, we present a single-digit decrease with minus 7.5%. In any case, we remain very optimistic about the traffic evolution. I mean, based on that correlation that I said, as soon as the different government reduce restrictions, we'll see a significant improvement in the performance in traffic. I mean, we consider this effect as a very one-off effect, and we expect a quickly rebound in traffic performance. In any case, in 2020, we Abertis did a proactive management of the COVID crisis, implementing measures to protect employees, users, as well as business and financial operations. And we acted through four different action plans. The first was through OPEX reduction, with a reduction of 9% of the total cost versus 2019, amounted minus 143 million euros. The second was investment. In projects, we did a capital reduction around 300 million euros in 2020 versus budgeted capex, based mainly in prioritization of projects. It's important to remark that we maintain our investment in maintenance. I mean, we keep it the maintenance in accordance and in compliance with our policies and in accordance with the concession contract requirement. The third action plan was oriented to discussion with grantors, try to be compensated for the impact, for the economic impact produced by the business disruption. In that sense, we see different positions in the different governments. In some cases, it's more favorable, like Brazil or Italy, to compensate in the short term. In other cases, it's excluded from the concession contract, like in France. And in other cases, we consider that will be necessary to take legal actions, like probably in Spain. And finally, in financing, we refinance all the short-term maturity, in some cases, pre-funding some maturities, and also we reinforce the liquidity position. And finally, a few comments about the two recent acquisitions. I think it's very remarkable, both acquisitions. As I said, one in Mexico, RCO, is 876 kilometers in operation with a very long maturity, 28 years of remaining concession life. It's a good location. The good connection between Mexico and Guadalajara is a very important industrial corridor in the country, and Abertis holds an stake of 53.1%, and our investment partner is GIC with 23%, and also Afores is the Mexican pension fund remain with the 18%. The second acquisition is Elizabeth River Crossing. It's in the U.S., it's Norfolk, Virginia. This is really a very long concession life, more than 50 years remaining. And also Abertis holds 55.2% stake with an equity consideration of 600 million euros. And our investment partner on that case is Manulife Insurance. A Canadian insurance company with the 45%. That is the main key topics about Abertis.
Thank you very much, Pepe. I like to underline that you select very outstanding partner both in Mexico and also in the US. that is a part of our strategy, obviously, to have international partners alongside our assets. I leave for Roberto Mengucci. Roberto is Investment Director of American and Asia Pacific, for a short update of our overseas motorways in Brazil, Chile, and Poland, just to have a short overview.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon to everybody. Likewise, it has been discussed so far, also for the other international assets. The main event in 2020 has been the relevant impact of the pandemic on traffic. All in across the portfolio, traffic reduced around 20% compared to 2019, with a peak of 27% in Chile. Mainly due to the, well, you know that our portfolio is mainly located in the Santiago urban area, where strict limitation to the mobility were imposed to the, by the authority, lockdown for many months. And what we are confident that once the limitation will be removed, traffic will recover quite quickly. Well, a travel of BDDA on a like-for-like basis before the FX impact, EBITDA decreased around 24% compared to 2019. Well, I would like to remark that notwithstanding the negative environment and the huge impact from the pandemic, on a standalone basis, the performance of the asset has been quite good. I mean, the asset has shown their resilience. If you look at the 2020 performance, the cash EBITDA is well above 80% in Chile and around 74% in Brazil. So all in good performance. This is also due to the ability of the management to mitigate the effect of the traffic decrease. The OPEX reduction was around 30 million. It means a minus around 16% compared to 2019 through, I mean, a number of different measures that have been undertaken by the management in terms of G&A reduction, reschedule, maintenance intervention not related to safety, and so on. Also on the investment side, there was a reschedule, a shift of around 55 million. Million euros. On the investment, I would like to remark the performance in Chile in Costanera Norte. Costanera Norte was able in 2020 to complete the investment program, the so-called Santiago Centro Oriente program. It's the main investment in Santiago urban area in the last years. It's composed by seven different investments in order to remove some bottlenecks. And all the different investments were completed and in operation at the end of 2020. Economic compensation. All the management teams are trying to seek compensation, economic compensation for business disruption. It won't be an easy discussion. In Chile, there is no clear, right to ask for a compensation. We are trying to leverage on the catastrophic event declaration made by the government. In Brazil, the situation is different because the right is more clear. There is an ongoing discussion between ARTESPI, the authority in the state of São Paulo, and the association of the concession. The right has been recognized by the authority. Now there is a discussion, a complex discussion about the modality of calculation and compensation. The support of the local community, all the concessions have been very active, mainly through donation of medical devices and support, also support of a team of doctors in Chile. Chile, as you may remember, was one of the countries more affected in Latin America by COVID. They progressed a lot. Right now, they are carrying out a vaccination campaign, and that is one of the most advanced in the world. Probably they are, together with Israel, one of the most advanced. And right now, around more than 40% of the population has already received the vaccination.
Well, thank you very much, Roberto. The new section is related to ADR. I think that we have on the line Marco Trucone. Marco is CEO ADR since last April. Marco.
Yeah, thank you, Carlo, and good afternoon. We can start from page 25. First of all, I think as the industry is experiencing extraordinary times and unprecedented challenges, it's worthwhile to put the current situation and performance a bit in perspective. The COVID impact is being incredibly severe, indeed, and traffic volumes in 2020 and still to date have dramatically fall down. The traffic will return in a time frame possibly still unknown, hopefully soon, but it will return in full. We deem that the key fundamentals driving the growth of the industry will remain valid, and that Aeroporti Roma is very well positioned to effectively recapture those trends. Industry opinion leaders still agree on a doubling of global traffic volumes in 20 years, mostly fueled by an increase in available income, hence an increase in propensity to flight in development countries, while flying will be increasingly accessible to new customers as low-cost offering and efficient operations will further penetrate the market. This will result, in particular, and even after the COVID situation, to a confirmation of the leisure traffic growth potential in the medium-long term as a key megatrend, with a focus on routes originating from both Asian fast-growing origin and from America, well-established that market, into several compelling destinations in Europe, with a strong focus on Europe. Hold on a sec. Okay, I'm sorry, there was a technical problem. So with a strong focus into traffic in Europe. So while the business segment may suffer from a certain structural reshaping, yet still to be really evaluated, the touristic flows in Europe are due to resume soon and restart growing, both in relation to intra-EU traffic and also with more leverage on long-haul flows, whose contribution to overall total flows in Europe today account only for a sole 16%. So in all this context, Rome is certainly very well positioned. Rome is the most visited city in Italy, of course, and the fifth in Europe, and one of the most important touristic destinations in the world. Certainly, it's a strong origin being a capital of the city, but with a very strong today already inbound traffic and leisure traffic, which accounts for roughly 2/3 of total traffic, and also long-haul traffic. Those I was mentioning before already are consistently growing over the last 10 years to a 5% average annual rate. So very well positioned. Passing to page 26, so focusing a bit more on today while still looking to a more promising tomorrow, our priorities, put simple, aim at keeping secure our current setup operationally and financially, but also at exiting the crisis possibly in a better shape than before. and being more ready for the challenges that the crisis is posing and, in fact, is accelerating. So the fronts addressed are a few ones. Firstly, certainly maintain a focus on ensuring a future-proof airport, which means basically to keep on promoting our new long-term infrastructural development plan, which has been radically revised from a sustainability angle, which remains still a multi-billion master plan which has been submitted recently to our civil aviation authority and which is due to allow to capture in full our traffic potential or to basically to allow a doubling of traffic volumes from now to the concession end. But looking more on the short and medium term, this also means to find ways to remain competitive on the market, I mean, in terms of airport charges, both through value-protective regulatory schemes and also through a continuous focus on operational efficiency. Regarding operational excellence, certainly maintaining a world-class performance on quality and safety of services it has been and remains a firm point of our strategy. But a strong acceleration is happening actually in two most relevant strategic areas. Firstly, sustainability. We, of course, fully acknowledge that reducing the environmental footprint, that decarbonization is, of course, a must. It's not a nice to have any longer. And to that end, ADR, which is already carbon neutral since some time, is committed to become a zero emission airport in 9 years from now, or by 2030, and also is ready to confirm a consistent financial policy in order to support such a perspective. So following also the green bond issuance in an amount of €300 million, which has successfully placed on the market last November, with a demand in excess of 12 times the offering. Second, a very important front is innovation. Producing innovation is nothing new, actually, to Aeroporti di Roma, but certainly we can and should do more. Firstly, by putting more internal discipline on what we already are doing, so creating a much stronger organizational focus in the company, but also looking at multiplying efforts and opportunities through open innovation concepts, and possibly joining forces also with other like-minded airport operators in Europe and also out of Europe. Going to the next page, page 27, focusing on the anti-COVID actions. Yeah, in the last few months, despite the impact on our financials and also on our organization, I'm referring to the application of a temporary layoff scheme which has hit all personnel in Aeroporti Roma, which has been applied on average on roughly 50% of working hours. Well, despite all that, a lot of energy has been put in place in order to contrast the pandemic and its effects. Firstly, to rapidly be able to operate the safest airport possible. So a span of very important, strong actions in terms of depth and breadth has been put in place. Also leveraging innovative technology solutions for a more effective protection of passengers and personnel operators. And testimony to that, among others, the recognition of 5 stars awarded by Skytrax as the first new airport globally, and also the sole one for a few months. Then on a more proactive front, and basically to allow for this new normal to actually take shape, we took a very strong stance on rapid antigen testing with an integration of testing facilities in the airport operations from the summer 2020, and then scaled up to a major drive-through facility in our long-term parking. And an equally innovative stance we took on the definition of new travel protocols. So we were the first airport in Europe, and today we are the sole one in Europe, to put in place clean corridors, or the so-called COVID-tested flights, on intercontinental routes, which allow to trade the quarantine restrictions, which we deem absolutely not an effective measure, and which is removed on those flights for pre-departure testing. We believe that this may be a real recovery enabler, especially in the very short term, as demand hopefully will be reforming as passenger confidence will be increasing thanks to the rollout of the vaccination campaign, possibly as early as from this summer, but while safety concerns on the epidemic still remain. And talking about vaccination, more of late, an active stance also has been taken on the vaccination front with a direct contribution. We put together a major vaccination center, again, in our long-term parking, in cooperation with, and also much appreciated by relevant institutions. In fact, today, in a couple of hours, our Prime Minister, Mr. Mario Draghi, will be visiting our vaccination center. And going ahead to the last page, page 28, let me conclude with the most relevant 2020 key performance data. So traffic, of course, badly hit, so a decrease by 77% or 11.5 million passengers in the system, or less than 10 million passengers in Fiumicino. So certainly a big hit, which of course produced very, very bad economic impacts. We had a reduction in revenues of roughly 700 million euros. But yet, we made that positive in the year, even despite being a small amount, thanks to the strong cost reduction initiatives in an amount of roughly 100 million euros. And those were realized certainly by optimizing infrastructure, the utilization of the infrastructure, by enforcing a temporary reduction in staff by some 3,400 people active in 2019 down to 1,900 actually active in 2020. Of course, through the application of temporary layoff scheme government funded. All in all, the OPEX reduction was in an amount of roughly 35%. Investment, of course, has been heavily reprogrammed with a reduction of more than 200 million euros versus the initial budget, so down to roughly 150 million euros executed in the year. Of course, this is in consistency with the actual operating needs in this traffic situation, but also for an appropriate management of financial resources. Talking about financing, of course, all relevant covenants which were breached in our financial documentation were waived in the year, and new sources were activated in a total amount of roughly a billion euros among new loans and the green bond that was mentioned before. So landing on a quite safe cash buffer in excess of 1 billion euros at the end of the year. I just conclude with a couple of words on mitigants, which originate from our concession agreement, a concession which has been extended to ADR as well as to all airport, Italian airport operators by 2 years. So our concession end is now 2046. The concession will also allow, anyways, provisions for the protection of the overall economic balance of the concession, and anyways, in all cases, for partial recovery of regulated revenues deficit suffered in the now concluding tariff period, as per Article 45.1. And also, even though it's not mentioned in this page, the last budget law also allowed for a subsidy to the airport system in Italy in a total amount of 450 million euros, 20% of which will be addressable by Aeroporti Roma. So in the year, we're expecting 90 million euros of subsidy in terms of state aid, which is currently under the approval of the European Commission. I can conclude here.
No, thank you very much, Marco. We appreciate. And now we have Frank Gonadel. Frank Gonadel is with us since September 2020 and is new CEO of Airport of Nice. He's coming from Aeroport de Paris. Frank, you are on the line?
Yes.
Are you on the line?
Yes. Thank you,
hi,
Carlo.
Frank.
Do you hear me?
Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Carlo, and all Atlanta team to give me the opportunity for presenting an overview of ACA. Regarding the main figures in 2020, the airport system serving the Côte d'Azur handled 4.6 million passengers, registering a 68% fall in traffic compared with 2019. This reflects the spread of COVID-19 pandemic, of course, and the worst impact concern international traffic because of travel ban and closing borders. In terms of revenue, operating revenue amounts to 144 million, is a reduction of 156 million euros compared with 2019. It's 54% less compared with 2019. Aviation revenue decreased by 52% compared with 2019, essentially reflecting the impact of the traffic of the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. Other operating income of 61 million is down 55% compared with 2019, primarily due to reduced income from retail subconcessions and car park, reflecting the impact of traffic of the crisis, and also the mixed traffic international and Schengen passenger. Regarding, we of course launched a cutting cost plan to reduce operating costs, and finally we had 114 million euro down by 32% compared with 2019. This reflects the impact of closing Terminal 1 in Nice Airport, reduction of staff cost achieved thanks to the use of French government income support schemes, chômage partiel, and a reduction in business rates directly linked to the performance of traffic. This is why EBITDA of 20 million euros is down 102 million euros compared with 2019. Regarding capital expenditure, which was hit by the slowdown caused by the various lockdown period from spring 2020, amounts to 43 million euros in 2020. Compared to 6 million euros in 2019. Despite pandemic crisis, the company carried out work deemed essential for safety, operational continuity, and sustainable issues that are very important. In terms of tariff evolution, we got an agreement to increase by 3% tariff from since 1st of November 2020, and in the same ID of Aéroport de Roma, we started discussion with the grantor in France to find a solution regarding the economic and financial rebalancing of the concession and the pandemic crisis. Regarding our cash, we secured a cash position in 2020 with a new financing. In conclusion, I would say that as the other speaker of Atlantia Group, we had last year an important discipline to adapt our organization and cost with the level of traffic. We are going to do the same for the next future during the traffic recovery period. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Frank, for both ADR and Nice Airport. Obviously, 2020 and maybe also 2021 are very, very tough time, but I come back about the airport strategy in a few minutes when we cover the point, the strategic update. Right now we have a startup section And it's my pleasure to introduce Gabriele Benedetto, that is the most digital CEO that we have, for the time being, obviously. And please, Gabriele.
Thank you, Carlo, for the very warm welcome. And let's spend some few words about Telepass. After 3 years of deep transformation, a dramatic deep transformation of the company, we now reach a maturity to introduce a new brand in Telepass. On page 32, I hope it will be clarified to you that today Telepass is not anymore an ETC company, but a fully integrated mobility services provider with our proprietary payment scheme embedded. This is the most valuable message in my view. Being the oldest fintech in Italy, we were able in the last year to catch or maybe to anticipate some changing that was arising in the mobility ecospace. The new one-stop mobility message of this slide, this chart from my side, is that now we are ready to compete in a new ecospace of mobility. The so-called T-Pass offer, it's a full offer of services for cars. All the payments, all the services around the cars, accordingly the kind of ownership of that car. Then the T-Pay offer, which is our offer for a new integrated mobility service, and the future services that the new infrastructure, the new connected infrastructure will provide to people on the move. Then the T-Care platform. The T-Care platform is, in our view, the most evolved insurtech platform based on the real mobility data of Telepass. This is the real value of our insurance project right now, to leverage on mobility data in order to customize the best of the right momentum or the mobility needs of our customer. Then there is a new space for corporate and small medium enterprises in Italy. After COVID, the needs of those corporations to offer mobility solutions which are compliant with the new COVID regulation. So we are going to launch at the end of this month the T-Business platform. Let's move to page 33 and let me introduce the new T-Next, the new Telepass Next. It's a totally redefined new onboard unit. With inside 30 years of experience in tolling and the most advanced technology in voice recognition, partnering with Google. Let me say it's more than outdated black box. It's something more. It's some experience over voice that you probably are facing in your home, in your house, with the new technology, move in your car. All our mobility service are under redefinition right now to be ready with a native integration with the new onboard units. Some comments on the first part of this chart on the insurance business line. It has been difficult for me to explain our strategy at the beginning. First of all, Telepass is not an insurance company. Telepass aims to be the best partner in delivering insurance services, capturing the mobility needs of each customer. We are agnostic in terms of business model. We launch a broker to collect the best products in the markets, or an MGA in order to leverage the data of Telepass Pay approach to provide the best product to our customer. With this distinctive approach, in my view, we are going to release the 21st of March the first European data-driven insurance policy that reimburses drivers with a strong delay in estimated travel time automatically in their bank account in a few seconds. Let's move to page 34 in order to provide some comments on the figures that affected Telepass this year. First of all, let me focus on 234 million revenues. 6% of increasing revenues in the most dramatic years for mobility. What does it mean? That over the 2020, 350,000 of net new subscriptions were added to our customer base. In a year where, for example, mobility in the toll road were lower than 20% compared to the year before, we were able to increase our net subscription customer base, which means the ecosystem of services is valuable for the customer, because even though they are driving less time, less kilometers in the toll road, they are leveraging on other services. And this was the confirm, the proof of how good was the strategy that we launched 3 years ago. COVID impact in our figures are quite easy. We are missing on the revenues almost 10 million euro, which are the lower merchant fee we are getting from the mobility provider, the infrastructure, the kick scooter, all the mobility was shrinking. But at the end of the day, we are missing 10 million of revenues, which are 10 million of EBITDA in our figures as today. As you can see, OPEX are strongly in growth trend, because we decided at the beginning of the year to confirm all our investment, to confirm all our strategy, because we strongly believe in the goodness on our strategy as today. So in order to provide the last, very last message probably, it was a difficult year, of course, for everyone, also for Teletas, but for sure it was a satisfactory in terms of strategy execution, and now we are ready to catch the new 2021 challenge. Thank you, Carlo.
Thank you very much, Gabriele. And right now, we move on the section about the strategic update. I think that I try to very fast as much as possible, and then we have a Q&A section. Page 36. Just to introduce the concept that in the last months, from October until February, we two board directors of Atlantia have spent a lot of time just to rethinking about the strategy and the future of Atlantia. As usual, we start from very important mega trends that impact our industry, especially the transportation industry. We think about the future strategic direction of Atlantia, and we are taking into consideration several key external factors and industry trends that we reshaping the world we live in. Megatrend such as emerging of integrated mobility, increasing urbanization, new logistical model, and ever-growing focus on sustainability create, for our point of view, a lot of opportunity, a new opportunity for the group. We have also to take account that in main time, competition in the infrastructure space continue to increase, accelerated by today's low rate environment. Everyone knows that the large number of funds and direct investors have been acquiring infrastructure assets in the last year, and some are deploying industry expertise. Leveraging and broadening our knowledge and expertise across the portfolio to take advantage of the leading operating capability, we continue to underpin our competition advantage going forward. So, technology innovation is more than ever relevant in our industry, impacting how end user interact with us and how we deliver our services and maintaining our assets very well. We will continue to drive innovation in our existing portfolio while also using technology to create new source of profit. Next one, please. As I said before, we have, I think, some track record about innovation and technology. And in this simple page, we try to summarize what our group done in the past and what we, which is the possibility to improve our technological DNA for the future. Some of this area obviously is already covered by colleague in the previous speech, and I'd like to move on in the next one. Our starting point of our thoughts about strategic or future strategic, obviously, after the mega trends, is define a clear mission of Atlantia Group for the future. In this simple page, we try to describe that make mobility increasingly sustainable, safe, innovative, efficient, and responsive to the need of society as a whole. I think it's clear statements of what we intend to do for the next year. Mission, vision, and also we revise our core value. And in this page, you can see, I don't know, some key elements of our core value. Oh, going forward, in page 39, we try to define in five different blocks, which is the main goals of future of our strategy. We have identified, therefore, four strategy initiatives that we believe will allow us to successfully progress toward our vision. First of all, optimize and rationalize our current portfolio. I spend some word after. Second, leverage the Atlantia platform as an innovation pioneer to accelerate the development of innovation. Third, continue to expand the portfolio through synergetic and value-added investment to complement our existing assets. Last but not least, going forward, we are going to be more nimble and flexible in the way we deploy capital. As we progress in all these initiatives, we also ensure that our decision meets our sustainability targets. That is also, we spend time during the last months to define, as I said before, our EGF target for 2023. Looking for page 40, I think that what does mean development of our portfolio asset for the future? I go through, first of all, about the airports. With regard to the airport, we believe we will see a full recovery of leisure traffic, while business traffic might take time to come back. We don't know how many 2 years, 3 years. It's not clear for the time being, but sure, business traffic require more time. Our focus remains in on-core leisure destinations, such Rome, such obviously Nice, and we want to continue to grow in the sector and use innovation to meet our sustainability target and improve customer experience. What about toll roads? We expect a quick and full recovery once lockdown measures are fully lifted. There are, I think, three main topics and that we intend in the following months to cover. First of all, finalization of the ASPI settlement, sure, is our top priority. We have also focused on the continuous improvement of Alberti's portfolio, including extending its average concession maturity. Take account, obviously, that in the next 2-3 years, some very important concession in Spain, toll road concession will expire. Another area keeping our team busy is innovation and the smart road. Technology can really improve the experience of our users, while along improving safety.
mobility services, that is Telepass for us as a business area, is one of the highest growth area and the opportunity to extract significant synergies and add value in the group. Our key asset, as I said before, Telepass, and our plan is continuing developing in a pan-European e-tolling and mobility services leader. Finally, we'll be strategically evaluate the remaining piece of our portfolio and optimize our investment in line with overall mission and vision. Of the page 41, I know very well, it's very effective for a picture in the middle, but just to point out again that switching to innovation, we are seeing a fast accelerating in the transportation industry, and for us it would be a key growth lever going forward. Technology allows end user to switch seamlessly between method of transportation, and hence we expect more integration going forward. We also expect mobility of the future to be more sustainable. Think, for example, to electrification, that Autostrade per Italia have a very smart and important project along our toll road in LA for the next, I think, Roberto, 6 months. Maybe we complete close to 100 different services area with very, very fast charging point, and sure, connected, shares, and autonomous. The next one is very, very key pages, because we try to describe in few words as much as possible what does mean innovation. In order to take advantage for opportunity that this evolution will bring, Atlantia will continue and expand its role as innovation pioneer. Technology will allow us to drive operational and financial improvement in our current portfolio, but also build a new business in adjacent areas. We have defined, therefore, a full suite of initiatives to drive innovation, some of which include partnership and collaboration with external players to complement our capability. I think it is important to say that from an organization perspective, Atlantia Holding Company will focus on some specific area of innovation. Our main subsidiaries, such as Airport Division or Telepass, will focus on innovation which is more specific for their business. And additionally, we will intend to create in the coming months a venture capital funds for early stage initiatives which are in line with our vision. We believe, strongly believe, we will important to our future success to start with a separate vehicle, because require this kind of activity require a different mindset, talent pool, skill set, time horizon, financial model, and also set of objective. The next one is try to what does mean for us expansion into new synergetic fields. This page try to illustrate in more detail, which is the new synergetic fields. For each of the main area of innovation, for example, smart urban mobility, we have identified a specific use case such as smart parking and EV charging station. Some other opportunities, such as a transportation terminal, smart road, impact multiple companies of our group, and there
we will see both of the holding and the division cooperate just to devote new solutions such as predictable maintenance, smart dynamic pricing, and the digitalization services in our terminal. Just to give you an example that as a holding company at Atlantia, I think two weeks ago we decided to invest, is a very small amount of money, but is more or less 15 million euro in very innovative, new mobility. And for us, Volocopter is a case study. And we have subscribed the last funding round alongside with our leading transportation technology company that you can see in this page. Volocopter is a leader in the commercialization of vertical urban mobility solution. It is launching commercially this year for logistics and targeting next year for passengers. It has the potential to have a great positive impact on the way goods and passengers move in the future. Their vehicles have zero emission, and there is the potential to integrate their services with our, for example, business like ADR or in the service area along the network in Italy and outside Italy. The last one, Lever, is multi-level investment platform. I think that is something that I like to describe you in details, because this page provides an overview of the organization model we will adapt to invest in the future, which is a multi-leveled investment platform structure. The holding level, Atlantia, means we set the overall strategic direction and enable to its execution, obviously, this kind of program. Shareholder investing in our holding company benefit from geographical and asset diversification and liquidity and so on. But as we have often done in the past, as recently last year, I remind three different examples at a Bertis level with the GIC and our Canadian insurance company, and at level of Telepass with the partner group, that the closing with them, I think that is a question of few weeks. I think as we done in the past with the great results at the asset level, we will continue to evaluate the option to open up the capital of our companies in order to have some benefit from different partners, different experience, and also to enhance the firepower of a group acquiring new assets with them. Finally, the new element of introducing today is our intention to set up a special investment vehicle, as I said before, such as a venture capital fund. I mentioned that is very important for the future and to the deployment of a new exciting technology. We need to invest in startup and giving them the resources, connection, network, and just to improve the high likelihood of successful. As I said at the beginning of this conference call, we define as board director ESG agenda for the next 3 years. And in this page, I'd like to point out that we select clear targets in six different key areas: climate change, people, territory, community, circular economy, and obviously ethics and governments. Last but not least, our presentation, I try to to respect our time frame. The time frame was 1 hour and 30 minutes, 1 hour and a half. This page, I think that we have to dedicate some minutes. But just to recap, the equity story of Atlantia is evolving to allow us to retain our leadership in fast-changing environment. This is an evolution, not a revolution. We have been investing, innovating, partnering with our investors and improving our ESG credential for a long time. Put the pace of innovation in changing, so we are adapting to be quicker and more nimble. For a strategic perspective, Atlantia will become a public listed investment management company focused on a macro trend that we are reshaping the world of mobility. Operating a large and global portfolio of assets, very international, with a distinct focus on technology innovation. We will be continuing to be a leader in applying innovation technology to the transportation infrastructure sectors, delivering tangible improvement to the performance of its assets while enhancing the customer experience and expansion into new areas to the benefit of the customers, where Atlantia can extract main full shareholder value. We are going to continue utilizing our multi-level funding platform at the holding and asset level, but we will now also raise specialized investment value to increase our ability to foster innovation. Finally, I want to become the preferred choice of public authorities, a partner who is able to provide next generation service or solution to highly mobile, connected, time poor and demanding citizens. I think that, just to summarize, what does mean for us the new world of mobility in our words, I think that in a simple way, we can say the new world of mobility, sure, have to be smart, have to be safe, have to be sustainable, have to be seamless. For us is key message. Thank you very much.
Sir, would you like to begin the question and answer session? Mr. Bertazzo, would you like to begin the question and answer session? Sir, I'm not sure if you have your microphone on mute. Would you like to begin the question and answer session?
We are ready, obviously, for a Q&A section. I'm so sorry.
Okay, thank you, sir. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove your question, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question comes from Nicolo Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon all, and thank you so much for this strategic update, which I find very useful. I would have three questions. The first one on ASPI. In case of no agreement with any institutional investor, would you go ahead with the merger plan presented last year, or would you prefer to maintain the ownership of the asset? And in this regard, do you think that any agreement would be possible before any final say from European Commission on the Mille Proroghe decree of last year? Second question on the call option on Cellnex. I'm wondering if this is still part of your strategic options, and if you are if you have any plan in this regard. And final question, if 2021 is in line with your guidance, what should we expect for the dividend at the end of this year? And would you also consider the payment of an interim dividend? Thank you.
Thank you very much for questions. I go through directly through the three different, questions. First of all, you know very well that last September we started as a board of directors with a dual track process. If for any reason is not our best case, obviously, the transaction with the current consortium is not possible for a lot of reasons, I don't know. We have to remember that we have the merger in place and with the merger project, and I like to point out that 99% of the shareholder attending AGM last January vote for in the AGM, because we have always, for this reason we introduce the dual track process. For European Commission, we hear about it, and I think that the Italian government had a few months to cover the point raised by the European Commission. And but frankly speaking, we don't have any kind of visibility, which is the questions that they raise and which is the time frame. Based on the public information, we know that the European Commission sent to Italian government a so-called EU pilot that is very preliminary phases, introducing some questions about the mille proroghe of December 2019. Second question about the call option of Cellnex shares. You're right, we have a call option. Call option maybe is very simple words. We have a co-investment agreement related to the stakes of Cellnex time to time owned by Edizione. And we know, because it is public information, that the company Cellnex will present to a shareholder at the end of this month a new one right issue. If I remember well, we are speaking about 7 billion euro. And take account the strategic rethinking that the board of directors we have done in the last 2-3 months. I think that our co-investment agreement is pretty long, until 2025, if you remember right now well, but Massimo confirm, please. And I don't know, for the time being, I think that we have to dedicate our efforts, our financial resources to the mobility, the new world of mobility. In any case, the co-investment agreement is there, it's pretty long, and if at certain points of time this kind of investment could be interest for the company, we are there. 2021 dividend policy. First of all, I think that we have to take account how the pandemic obviously affected our business also in the coming years, in the coming months, I'm sorry. And for the time being, as Tiziano said before, our sensitivity right now is to have a traffic compared to 2019 in the toll road overall, different area in Europe and also in South America, approximately 10%, minus 10% compared to 2019, and about the airport business, overall we are speaking about minus 70%. Based on our budgeting exercise,
we can see at Atlantia level the coming dividend expected this year, without taking account any dividend from ADR, any dividend from Autostrade per l'Italia. I think that the overall amount that we can expect is higher than 500 million euro. I think that next year, from 12 months, the board director will decide what we can do with this amount of dividends, taking account also the pandemic effect for remaining months.
Very clear. Many thanks.
The next question is from Enrico Bartoli of Stifel. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for taking my question. I have three as well. The first one is related to, in general, the change, the political change that occurred in Italy recently, the new government. I was wondering if you are experiencing some different approach from the new government compared to the previous one. And regarding the approval process for the new financial plan of ASPI, if you have some, let's say, some expectations in terms of timing, in terms of the final outcome, any comments on this would be very, very helpful. A second question is related to ADR. If you can provide some details on the discussion that you are having regarding the new regulatory period, in particular in terms of the returns can be expected next year, the possibility to recover the impact on passengers from the COVID. If I remember well, in the contract you are entitled to around 50% recovery on that. And if you expect any impact on the activity of ADR from the situation of Alitalia, the press anticipated there is a plan for a significant reduction in the fleet of the company. And the last one is, I know it's really, really difficult, but if you can give us your, say, your general thought about the possible recovery of traffic, not only in 2021, but when the 2019 level in your mind can be reasonably reached again. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the questions. Well, about the first one, the relationship with the new government and Autostrade per l'Italia, different level of decision, especially about the new economic financial plan. We appreciate the general overview and approach of a new government. It's very early to say something more details. You know very well that the new government is very busy for most important things like to run the pandemic. And as Roberto said before, at the end, I think that all documents, you know very well that there are three different level documents. We are speaking about a transaction agreement. We are speaking about the new concession scheme. And then there is also the new economic plan based on AERT system introduced recently. The timing is very difficult to say. Obviously, we request and Autostrade per l'Italia request to have a feedback as soon as possible from the new representative of the government. And we wait, and we hope, obviously, that something move forward in very short time. The questions that remain open at the end, because the company accept all requirements provided by the government just last November, if I remember well, 19 November, and the only one open point that we have is the so-called Article 10.2, that the government required that the factoring days of three different level of documents could be effective only if there will be the transfer of the control of Autostrade per Italia to CDP Consortium. This is the only one point that remains open. It's very pretty important. And the board of directors of Autostrade per Italia, with the support of Atlantia, is not able to sign this kind of condition. About ADR and the possibility to recovery part or all of the pandemic effect of the traffic, you are right. There is some the regulation of ADR, but it's public, provide some possibility to recovery if the traffic obviously is negative during the regular period, higher than 5%. And I know, but I asked to Marco that he is still available to provide some details, that there is some discussion right now with the regulator.
Yeah, Carlo, let me just say a couple of words. The economic regulation is certainly an issue, as the tariff period 2017-2021 is expiring, of course, this year. So this is the time to discuss the tariff dynamics for 2022 onwards. So physiologically, we would have been discussing this issue with the regulator. However, the process is due to commence fully only a bit later on down the road, and namely the consultation process will start as from August. So we still haven't lodged a proposal as to what the tariff dynamics for 2022 should look like. So a bit too early to say, but directionally we can say that in terms of returns, so allowed WACC on regulated activities, we certainly expect a bit downward pressure in consideration of the actual levels of the risk-free rates, so the rates. However, we expect also the increased risk appreciation on the sector to come into play. I'm referring to probably a reappreciation of new level of asset beta in the WACC. So all in all, we do not expect, also in consideration of this last point, a material deterioration of allowed WACC. Regarding the mitigants and concession mitigants, as I was mentioning before, the concession agreement provides for a protection of the overall economic balance of the concession if that equilibrium, that balance, is in prejudice for reasons out of the responsibility of the concessionaire, which is the case. To that end, it will concur to the restoration, to the curing of this equilibrium, also the extension of the concession by 2 years, as well as the state aid in the amount, in the expected amount of 90 million euros, which should be happening later on. On top of that, there is the provision, Carlo, you were mentioning that 50% of the traffic deficit suffered in the regulatory period is normally an item which is allowed to be recovered in the following period. What we are discussing, as this item promises to be a sizable one, what we are discussing is a way to basically reprotect in full that item over a sufficiently long period of time so as not to create any prejudice on the competitiveness of our airport charges. Finally, last sub-question on Alitalia. Certainly, Alitalia is important to us as it was representing some slightly short of 40% of Fiumicino traffic in 2019, or 28-29% of aviation revenues in terms of contribution, again, to aviation revenues of Aeroporti Roma.
The expected fleet size, I think you were referring to, allegedly in the region of 50 aircraft. Certainly, this refers to the initial fleet size, which shall take in consideration the contingent situation post-COVID. The market remains, of course, extremely soft, hence it will be probably inappropriate to start with a larger fleet on top of what it would be productive from day one. So to our knowledge, based on the discussion we have with Alitalia, anyways, the plan remains firm on a target fleet size in the region of 100 aircraft. So the let me say potential remains intact, of course, when better times will come. And also we deem that that plan also has material chances to be brought forward successfully in consideration of the large let me say capitalization of the the promises by the state in the amount of 3 billion euros.
Thank you very much, Marco, for a very comprehensive answer. And about the last point, traffic forecast, the question, the answer is very easy for toll road business. As Roberto Meguchi told before, for example, in Chile right now, vaccination program is 44%. In Chua, we have and we see very very positive effects on traffic, but also we had experienced last year toll road traffic during summertime proved to recover very very quickly. What does mean? I think that to see again the level of traffic on the toll road worldwide in the same level 2019 is highly likely. That this could happen in 2022. Different is for airport traffic. Based on and collect a lot of data forecast of our European and non-European airport and airline company, I can say right now the best estimation that we have is that for Rome and for Nice, the traffic, 2019 traffic could be recovered in 2023 or 2024. But it's very difficult. Depends what does mean for the future months, the vaccination program of in different countries. Because when we speak about very final destination or airports like Rome and so on, you know very well that inbound traffic for non-European passenger is the key in term of value. But in any case, what I said before is the best forecast that we have for the time being.
Thank you very much. Very helpful.
The next question is from Elodie Rall of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one, if we may just come back, should you be able to divest ASPI, would you actually consider a special dividend? Second, in terms of negotiation with CDP, I mean, you gave us a lot of highlights, but if you could just summarize what's the main bottleneck in order to really get this agreement? Is it the price or are there any other issues? And lastly, broader question on your current activities. Assuming you dispose of ASPI successfully, any other assets there currently that you would consider either reducing a stake or disposing of? And equally, any stakes, any assets currently where you would consider actually increasing a stake? So I'm thinking Getlink, for example. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I think that before to decide which is the usual procedure of
potential cash in coming from the disposal of ASPI, we have to understand, obviously, if there is transaction or not first. And because you know very well that there is all the right to sell of 88% is one thing. If the merger has it in place right now, we are speaking about 55%. That means the controlling stake of ACC. Just in general terms, I think that if the disposal at the end will happen, I think that first of all, we have some reduction debt to do. Second, we have to review our portfolio financial needed for future expansion. Thinking about, for example, what does it mean for Telepass to become a pan-European player in the e-tolling and service mobility. I think that the pipeline obviously is not public, but it's pretty long. And third, what I try to describe, which is the strategy for the future, and we have some opportunity to pursue. If for any reasons, obviously, this kind of opportunity or M&A activities not possible, or on the end, I think that the board of directors have sure to decide if the cash in net at the holding company will be material positive. About CDP transaction, as described last time with the board of directors, there are two key areas. First of all, it's not in case only questions of valuation, but also the term and condition they propose as consortium is not in line with our expectation, and we think that there is some work to done in the coming weeks or days, what you want, just to try to align the different interests, but both price, valuation, cap in indemnity, and third, the general term and condition. I think that we have three different main areas that we have tried to improve in both sides. Disposal non-core assets or potential increasing stakes in current assets. First of all, you know very well that we have two different minority stakes under selling process right now. One is stakes of 15% in Portugal. The name of the company is Lusoponte. And the second one is the majority stake of a listing company in Poland, and the name is Stahl Export. We are reviewing our full portfolio of assets. I cannot disclose right now if there are our assets that we can consider no core or no longer core. Sure, we have some our asset like Octif that we are evaluating what we do, what do we intend to do in the future. You know very well that the stakes of 24% in the listed company Octif, 80% is already addressed with the collar that is in place, and the other 16 more or less percent. Is obvious our investment directing in our balance sheet. But just to recap the situation about Octif, we bought Octif stakes as part of a deal with Abertis in 2018. At the beginning, the plan at the time was to exploit the investment opportunity for Abertis, also in the greenfield projects, together with Octif. Actually, the story went differently. Abertis has the chance to invest mainly in the brownfield opportunity like Mexico and the U.S. Virginia of last December, opportunity with the pandemic impacted all the industry. We can't certainly start a revision of our portfolio strategy, but current market price do not help us any decision in this regard. You know very well which is the market price of TIC right now. We have to wait for stock exchange recovery before thinking and taking any kind of decision about this kind of stakes. GetLink, just to cover the last point that you raised, I think that we are very, very, very happy about the investments. Notwithstanding the Brexit, the pandemic effect of COVID, you know very well that the stock price of the GetLink improved respect to the enterprise. I can say only that we are very happy with the investments, and I don't know. Tunnel like Eurotunnel is the part of infrastructure field that we are looking.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question is from Stefano Gamberini of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Three questions also from my side. The first regarding the presentation, page 7. Why 2021 operating cash flow is only up 500 million euros 2021 versus 2020, despite motorways traffic is expected to be projected at less 10% on 2019. If I'm not wrong, this is the most part of the cash flow related to the motorways, while if I'm not wrong, the airports just account for 500, 600 million euros. So do you expect a significant increase in OPEX during 2021? The second, if I may, still regarding the disposal process of ASPI. ACS, your partner, expressed interest in ASPI. So in this case, could you also consider that if they want to, for example, bid through Abertis, also change the shareholder agreement in Abertis, so this company could be involved in some way in the future in a potential interest on ASPI stake or not? And the third, regarding still Abertis, if you can update us regarding the negotiation with the government on AP7 compensation, as well as regarding the leverage of Abertis, in my view, probably is quite high. So is still there the risk of a downgrade of Abertis to junk, or otherwise through the issue of the two hybrids bond, do you expect that investment grade will be confirmed? Many thanks.
For the first questions, I leave the floor to to Tiziano.
Yes, thank you, Carlo. Thank you, Stefano. You're right. Basically, FFO 2021 is reducing, mostly affected by traffic in total. We are estimated based on recent data at March the 7th, a 10% reduction in toll road and 70% reduction in airport traffic. And this is the most relevant assumption affecting, of course, revenues, then EBITDA and FFO 2021. All of the other assumption has been confirmed, so some other effect might be considered when looking at effects and some other, of course, as impact and consequences on our derivative exposure from interest rates. All of the other assumptions are in line with 2019, of course, and 2020 results.
Thank you, Tiziano. About the Abertis, I think that is a simple answer, the last one. I think that after the issue of a hybrid bond by Abertis for 2.5
if I remember, one, 2 point something billion euro across the end of the year, beginning of this year, sure, based of assessment that we can make right now of the investment grade of reading of Abertis is not under pressure. Everything could be changed in the future, depends on the traffic and the effect in the coming months in Spain, in France, especially in France and in Spain, for the pandemic point of view. For the time being, based on the forecast traffic that we have, we don't see any kind of pressure on the debt level of Abertis. About the second questions, we read about ACS interest for Autostrade per l'Italia. Of course, we are happy to see more buyers. We are good friends and partner of ACS in Abertis. No problem to open a discussion with them also for Autostrade per l'Italia if they want to evaluate this kind of investment opportunity in toll road. Obviously, we appreciate that our partners, so important partners for us, like to invest in Italy.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jose Arroyas of Santander. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just one question from me, actually. In July last year, Atlantia committed to selling Autofaspi in the space of a year, if I don't recall incorrectly. This was a commitment with the former Italian government. Does the new government need to respect this previous agreement with you? That would be one question I'd like to ask. And in connection with that, would Abertis' interest, which ACS has also suggested, be in compliance with this agreement to sell Autofaspi by Atlantia? Thank you.
I try to. First of all, I think that there is one information missing. In the last July, Atlantia declared to the government his availability to sell the majority of Autostrade per l'Italia at a market condition, at condition price, and market condition, and obviously the price under a competitive process. And I think that the information that we commit to sell by 5 years or within 5 years is something that, I don't know, we don't never take this kind of commitment time or time frame. About the second questions, I think that I have to repeat the same answer that I did a few minutes ago. About the relationship with ACS. Based on information that we have, 2 weeks ago, I think that ACS declared the interest about Autostrade per l'Italia, but I never hear the interest from Abertis' point of view, if I remember well.
The next question is from Marcin Wojtal of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. So a couple of questions on Abertis again, if I may. So just looking at the balance sheet of Abertis, do you see any capacity for Abertis to continue to look for acquisitions of new assets, or they are more likely to focus on integrating the recently acquired companies for the next year or two? And then question number two on Abertis, with regards to the so-called AP7 dispute with the Spanish government, which is related to the ATESA concession, which I believe expires in August 2021. Could you provide an update? What do you expect? Do you expect a court ruling or a settlement? And when do you expect to have the final outcome of the AP7? Thank you.
Hi. Just to about the first questions, the had room for more M&A or Abertis, taking account the last two larger acquisitions that we are speaking about, the last two acquisitions we are speaking about €1 billion in terms of enterprise value, and I give you the right number in a second, but I think that really, taking account pandemic, taking account the recently acquisition that they did 2021, which you are a year for dedicated to the integration of the assets and to improve the average life of existing assets with the landlords, and then we can see again maybe in 2022. And all when the opportunity will come, we can say that the M&A activities could be start again. About the situation of AP7 and the details, I leave the floor to Roberto Mengucci, but I think that you have more information.
Carlo, Pepe speaking.
Pepe. You are right. I'm so sorry. I think that you are the right person to answer about the AP7. Also, overall, please add our information about the first question.
Okay. So far, there is no news or any updates about the AP7 situation. In accordance with the concession contract, it's necessary to wait until the end of August. And we will have a month to report to the ministry what is the account receivable in accordance with the traffic differences between the expected and the real traffic. And then the government has 6 months to pay or to appeal or to go act against our claim. That means it's necessary to wait a few months to have more visibility about what could be the reaction.
No, thank you very much, Pepe. Next one, please.
The next question is Nicolo Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. Just a couple of follow-up questions. The first one on the airport of Nice. I'm wondering if you can provide an update on the negotiations with the authority on the recovery of the tariff cut of a couple of years ago, if this is something you're discussing, and eventually on a potential compensation for the COVID impact. And second question, if you can explain the reasoning behind the transfer of Pavimental from Atlantia to ASPI, and if there is any relevant cash in for Atlantia holding company from this transaction.
Thank you very much for both questions. I think that the first one, maybe you miss the answer, Mr. Marco Troncone. A very comprehensive answer about what IDR is doing to try to recover with the regulator the pandemic, the COVID effect in the about Nizza, I think that there is Frank on the line who could be answer the specific point, because there is in the concession agreement, the so-called Article 74. And Frank, could you try to provide some more details?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. First of all, regarding the decision of the ISI, the regulator, a few years ago, We are still discussing with the ART, the new regulator, for the future, and especially you note that we agree on the fact to increase traffic last November, last November plus 3%, because of the investment program and the operational issues, the regulator agreed on the fact to recover a new tariff for the future, and we are going to continue for the next period regarding investment program and the economy of the concession. That is, on one end, what we are working on. On the second end, that is your second part of question regarding the pandemic crisis and the impact of the equilibrium of the concession. There are a special article in the concession agreement regarding external effect on the equilibrium of the concession, and we started a discussion. We are not alone. All the French airports are discussing with the state, because we are under a state concession agreement, and we started under this agreement and this article of the concession agreement, solution to compensate the COVID effect on the economy of the concession.
Thank you very much, Frank. And about Bovimental, I think it's the sense is industrial rationale, because at the end, I think that 80% of activity, construction of activity, is just to support the investment program, the maintenance program of the Autostrade per l'Italia. But I leave the floor to Roberto, because if I remember well, there is a specific chart in his presentation just to describe how Autostrade per l'Italia intend to cover the entire life of running this kind of business.
Yes, Carlo, as explained, today Pavimental cover the entire activities with Autostrade per l'Italia. Just to give you the numbers, the equity value, if I can remember, was of 15 million euros. Today we have a close with a revenues of Pavimental more or less of 500 million euros, and we are foreseeing in the 2021 to increase the revenue that are mainly due to activities provided by Autostrade per l'Italia up to 600 million euro. We are also looking to evaluate opportunities on no captive market in order to achieve at the end of the 2024 a value of 1 billion euro of revenues for Pavimental.
Thank you, Roberto. I think that I don't know. We have had room for another question.
And the final question is from Enrico Bartoli of Stifel. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry. So just to very quick follow up. First of all, on the cost efficiencies that you managed to achieve in 2020, if you can give us some flavor. And how much of this you think would be sustainable in 2021 and in a normalized environment? And secondly, if you can give us a guidance on the CapEx you expect for this year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Enrico. On cost, we mentioned 600 million of efficiency in 2020 versus 2019. This is basically 200 coming from reduced concession fees, and the remaining 400, basically half, coming from labor cost reduction and external cost for service in O&M. Some of these costs are coming from efficiency plan already approved by the board of directors of the concession, so we think will be cost efficiency that we can consider even for the future, but most of these are as a consequence of reduction of activities in airports, reduction for fee concession, which are basically related to traffic, and the possibility for some of the company of the group to make reference to government proposal for cost reduction in Italia, Cassa Integrazione, Chômage Partiel in France. So I guess no more than 100 million euro at group level will be the component that you can consider for long-term reduction at group level.
Thank you very much for this 2 hours quarter that we spent together. And obviously, Investor Radio is continuing to be available for any kind of questions or clarification, comments about the presentation and also about the annual report that will be available in the coming weeks. Thank you very much. We appreciate a lot.